Well, as we've said once or twice, we didn't intend to be here today, but the rain has changed our plans, and that's okay. You know, God can move us in many ways, and I suppose the rain is one of them. Today, as we gather, we're thinking about two things. The first, as we read just a moment ago, we're thinking about the story of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. We're thinking about how God poured out his Spirit upon his people. God poured out his Spirit upon his people, and through that act, he created the new Christian church. He anointed the new Christian church, and there he set us apart to live as the people of God. There he set us apart to share the good news of Jesus through our lives. And there, on the day of Pentecost, God also gave us the power to speak his word. He gave us the power to live as his people. He gave us the power to fulfill the purpose that he has given us. And all these things are demonstrated most clearly in the miracle which accompanies this giving of the Holy Spirit. We'll get there in a moment. Because the second thing we're thinking about today is what we intended to do this morning, where we intended to be. Today we had planned to move out of the church building and out into the park, into a public space, right? Into an open space, a place of recreation, a place of meeting. It's a place of gathering out there, even a place of connection. And even though the rain kept us indoors, we can still think about that place of connection today. Because human connection is something that we really kind of struggled to create today. You know, and I can say for me personally, as I've grown, I've realized how difficult it can be to foster connections between people, how difficult it can be to find just unhurried time together with friends, with family, with neighbors, to have the connections that we need in our life. You know, I remember back when I was in high school, it seemed like connections were easy to create. Relatively speaking. When I was in high school, I was there most of the day. There was time at school, there were time at extracurricular activities, and a lot of that time I was spent working with others or performing with others, doing things with others. There were opportunities for connection there. There were at least a few days a week that I could spend with my friends when I was young in the evening. And though my family, we were busy like many families, we often also had family time as a regular occurrence. And so there were lots of connections. But as I think about my own life, and I fast forward a little bit through college, through that extra schooling I've had as I prepared to be a pastor, and then, you know, when I became a real adult, when nobody was caring for me except for me, I realized that connections get a lot more difficult because suddenly there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of weight on you. There's a lot to do. Suddenly you have bills to pay. You've got rent, mortgage, student loans, utilities. There's food and clothing to pay for. There's chores to do. There's work. And once you have kids, then there's kids to take care of every day too, and they take up so much of your time and energy, and you add one thing on another, and pretty soon those connections become scarce. Have you been there? I think probably most of us have been. Well, I can tell you, it's not just you and me. It's not just you and me. Research says this is happening across America. There's a political scientist named Roger Putnam who studies the weakening bonds between, the weakening social bonds between Americans today. And he has revealed that since the 1960s, lots of different measures of social connection have dropped. He's a political scientist, so he focuses first on voting, and he tells us that since the 1960s, voting in national elections among Americans has dropped by 25%. There's been a drop between 30 and 40% in the number of people who join social clubs and organizations, or people who attend school and community meetings, or people who attend political events. He says that we entertain friends in our homes just about half as often as we used to. And so, too, the flip side of that, we also go to visit our friends in their homes only about half as often as we used to. And so Putnam says this. He says, once familiar social activities like picnicking, playing cards with friends, even hanging out at the neighborhood bar, they're fast becoming relics of a bygone era. Families, too, are spending less time together than they used to. Parents and their children are about one-third less likely to take vacations together or to watch television together or even chat with one another. And so it seems that we in America today, we are struggling to gather, we're struggling to connect with one another in meaningful ways, other than those relationships that we kind of, they're just there, our family relationships, right? But even those, as he says, they're struggling. And this, by the way, is not to say anything bad about those roles of being a parent or a child and have those deep connections, maybe a spouse with someone in your life. But as our lives become more and more full, we have less and less opportunity to connect with those around us. So hold that thought in your mind as we take a look at the story of Pentecost. Because we read in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, all the followers of Jesus were gathered together in one place in a house. And this is the story. The sound of rushing wind comes and what looks like flames of fire, tongues of fire fall and rest on each of the believers. And then we read that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Well, all this noise attracts a crowd, and we're not sure exactly whether it's the sound of rushing wind or it's the babble of the languages coming from the believers, but all this noise attracts a crowd, and because Pentecost was already a long-standing Jewish holiday from Old Testament times, there's people here who have traveled to Jerusalem from all over the known world. All over the known world. And the people of God can miraculously speak in the languages of all of these visitors, and they're sharing the good news of Jesus. Back in our scripture reading, there was the list of all those nations. There's probably more than that. The believers are sharing the good news of Jesus. And this miracle on Pentecost, we realize, is a public spectacle. Although scripture doesn't record this sequence of events exactly, what had to have happened in order for to start in a home, and then by the end of the story, Peter's addressing a great crowd in a public place, what had to have happened is that the Holy Spirit moved those believers. The Holy Spirit moved those believers from their private house to the public square. The Holy Spirit moved them from a place of privacy to a place of gathering. The Holy Spirit moved those believers from a place of isolation to a place of connection. And so the miracle of Pentecost, when God anointed the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ with his Holy Spirit, when God set them apart to share the gospel with all nations, and when God equipped them to share that good news, the miracle of Pentecost was a profoundly public event. This was God working directly in the lives of his people to draw them out of their own circles and into the public square, into the public spaces of their day. And God did that, this is important, God did that in order to forgive sins. God moved them in order to save souls. God moved them in order to give new life to the community through the words and actions of his own people. Because the words and actions of his people were proclaiming the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter stood up on that day and declared to everyone in that public place, he said that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And many of them were. That means that you can have that new life through Jesus Christ. That means that I can have that new life through Jesus Christ. And God didn't want that news to be kept quiet. God wanted that news to be shared and to be spread through human connections, through neighbors, through friends and family. So God moved his people to the public square. And if we've realized that in America we are losing our sense of community and connection to our neighbors, if we've realized that we are not doing a good job of taking advantage of the places of connection in our lives, the places that are already there, well then what's the answer? Well, the answer is Pentecost, where God pours out his Spirit onto the church, and God's Spirit moves us from the home to the square, from private to public, from isolation to connection. God moves us so that we would share his words with those who need to hear them, and so that we can say to all people, just as you're hearing me say today, that Jesus gave his life for you so that you can live with God. You know, that's part of why the day of Pentecost was a very appropriate day for us to at least try to head out to that park, even though we got rained out. That's one way that we as a congregation can go public. Even though we got rained out, we'll try again, right? We'll find another day that will work, and we will be there. But what's also very appropriate for us today, and even maybe more helpful, the fact that we're in here, is to recognize that getting out to the park isn't the only way to live your life of faith in the public square. It's actually not even the most common or the most important way, because we've got every day of our lives to live instead of that one time on Sunday morning. Each of us has our own set of connections already. Each of us has our own set of relationships already, and God has placed us in those places, in those relationships. Each of us also, we have our own relational pace that he has created us to live at. And so whether you like to meet 50 people a day or whether you like to meet 50 people a year, you can know that God still has a purpose and a plan and a way for you to be part of his plan to share the good news with the world. And if you want to be part of that, well, all you have to do is ask yourself two questions. Two questions. The first is to ask yourself, where are those gathering places and those times around me? Where do I know that people will be there and they'll be open to conversation, to relationships? And maybe for you that's work. Maybe that's social events. Maybe that's a crafting group or a quilting circle. Maybe it's the gym. Maybe it's a sporting league. Maybe for you it is that park where people are just hanging out, watching their kids play. Whatever that is, remember that Pentecost made a difference because it happened in a place of gathering. And today we don't have a big public marketplace here in Fort Wayne like they did in Jerusalem. We don't have the temple grounds like they had there. And, you know, probably one of those places was where the disciples all ended up in this miracle. But we do have places of gathering. They're just a little smaller. So where is that for you? That's the first question to ask yourself. And the second question to ask yourself is this, and that is to ask, am I willing, right? Am I willing to move from the home to the marketplace? Am I willing to move from the private place to the public one? Am I willing to know the people around me no matter who they are and to grow to love them no matter who they are? Am I willing to show compassion to the people around me no matter who they are? And am I willing to do all of this as a child of God? And be honest with yourself, too, because to say yes, absolutely, when you're really thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I can handle this, is not going to do anyone any help. It's far better to be honest, to say, well, I'm not so sure I can do that. I'm not so sure I'm ready for something like that. And then to follow up with, well, now what can I do about that? What can I do to make a change? And so if you're not so sure, then let me encourage you with this message that you've got the Holy Spirit, too. As the people of God, we've got the Holy Spirit. And just as the Holy Spirit moved those first Christians from the home to the marketplace to share their faith there, the Holy Spirit can move you too. And the first and best thing to do if we want to make a difference in the lives of our friends, our family, and our neighbors, the first and the best thing we can do if we want to make a difference in even the lives of our acquaintances and those people whom we may encounter in those places of connection is first, actually, you can pray for them, but even better, I think, is to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that God would help you to get to know those people in your lives. Pray for yourself that God would help you care for them. And pray that God would help you learn to love them. And in addition to that, you know what? I can offer my help too. I can offer my help too. I can offer you some backup if you are just not sure what it would look like to care for your neighbors as a child of God. If you just can't imagine what this would look like at the park where we intended to be, or at the gym, or the golf course, or the pickleball court, or your lunch break at work, or your school, or your neighborhood block party, or your crafting group, or your quilting circle, or whatever your place of connection might be, well then, let me offer, I'll go with you. Even in that quilting circle, right? I'll be there. I'll go with you and I'll show you it's not that hard to be the presence of Christ for the people you already know. So invite me to your sports at the Y, to your quilting group, your lunchtime break at work, anywhere you can get me, and I'll be there. I really mean it. Because really what's true is that we have everything we need already. God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us, to set us apart, to live in his name. And God has put us already in groups and places of connection and community if we would just open our eyes to see them. And we know that God also is continuing to work in us to give us the will and the heart to be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus wherever we find ourselves. Well, and I hope that today is encouraging you in that as well. So as we enjoy our time together today, as we have hot dogs later here at church instead of the park, as we go home today and as we go about our lives this week, remember that God made us to be a church on the move. We're meant to be in motion. And as we move into places both new and old, familiar and unfamiliar, we bring the word of God with us through our words and our actions. And through our words and through our actions, God will work to save. Amen? Amen. All right, hey, let's stand. We're going to continue.